Yes, good evening and welcome to The Gristle. Tonight, down and out in Armidale and Tamworth, Barnaby Joyce goes public about his life on the poverty line. Crown of Yawns. High-profile media investigation links Crown Casino to organised crime, but fails to get anyone excited. The Commish has Gladys solved Sydney's apartment crisis. Silence of the Kassams. Donald Trump Jr. steps in to save free speech in Australia. And it's the power of one in the UK as Boris Johnson's prime ministership gets off to a rocky start. You're listening to The Gristle. Yes, good evening, listeners, and welcome to The Gristle, to SER's hard-hitting weekly political review where we chew over the issues that other shows find too hard to swallow. My name is Stormin Norman, and I've just called in for a cameo appearance in the studio. Thanks, as always, to the team for The Wire, some of the best public affairs that you'll hear anywhere in the country. With me tonight, though, in the studio, we have a panel that makes me feel a little bit inadequate, a little bit. Am I up to this with such a crew of talented, intelligent, good-looking people? We have to my left the interloper.
Did you mean to say that you're broke?
If he ain't broke, don't fix him.
Starvin' Marvin, great
to
see you.
Good to be here.
Warm lettuce, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic.
Demo crazy.
Good evening.
And last but not least, Trudette.
Hi, just rounding out the gender diversity on the panel tonight.
Rounding out his lack of dollars at the moment, Barnaby Joyce assures us that he's not skint, but he is doing it tough, stealing his food from Woolies and turning the fridge off at night just to make ends meet or something like that. Now, the poor old bugger has lost his job as Deputy Prime Minister and he's broken up with the missus, and now he's got a second family to feed. And his experience on $200,000 plus is giving him a new sense of empathy. Empathy with the poor people and empathy with people on Newstart. Putting him at odds with Prime Minister Scott Morrison. Now, demo crazy. How has this tale of woe, Barnaby's tale of woe, gone down with the public?
Oh, it's gone down badly. It's plumbing the depths. Crying poor when you're on a pretty good wicket and crying poor when you're saying that you've got to feed two families when, well, that was kind of your choice to start a second family recently. Next thing he will be saying that we should be bringing back a baby bonus the way that he's going, having just had a second child with the new missus.
Come on, careful. Don't give him any ideas. They might actually do that. But I've got a little bit of empathy actually for Barnaby myself because, you know, let's not forget $200,000 up, that's the group that didn't get any tax cuts this time round. So Barnaby missed out. We all got something. He's feeling a little lonely, a little left out with all the one percenters. And, you know, that brings a tear to my eye.
A tear to your eye. Trudette, is Barnaby a bit of a hypocrite here?
Oh, look, of course he is. But what I would say is, despite the way he's chosen to frame his argument for an increase to the New Start allowance, I think we have to allow people to have a moment of self-reflection and to adjust their own viewpoint based on the evidence before them. I mean, isn't that what we ask people to do all the time? And it seems as if Barnaby has done that, or perhaps, you know, he's at least claiming to have done that. And he's saying, well, let's put a bit more money in the purses of people on New Start allowance. And I actually think that's a good thing, because what people are living off is pretty meagre.
So it doesn't really matter how Barnaby's got to this point. The fact that he's got there at all is a step forward. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, look, I think we can't ask for people to... I think we just take what we can get off Barnaby. Put it that way. I think we've just got to take what we can get.
One small step for Barnaby. One giant leap forward for humanity.
Well, I mean, actually, one thing that people might have missed this week is that the Nationals actually commissioned their own modelling in secret without telling the Liberal Party of how much it would cost to increase the New Start. So the party as a whole is actually looking at it quite seriously. But the trade-off is that, and I suspect the Libs might jump on board with this, is that you can get the increase, but in exchange, everybody's going to go on the basics card, which means you can only spend the money on, you know, your rent and all the rest. But I mean,
take with one hand.
Well, there's so they'll be able to track which wherever you are, which Woolworths you're in, or
oh,
which
well, look,
7-Eleven
Facebook
you're
already does that.
Oh, why'd you buy your milk from 7-Eleven? It's too expensive. Is that what it's going to be? They're going to say, oh, you should have gone somewhere cheaper to buy the milk.
I mean, I don't know. My personal view is, if you want to tell people you're living in absolute poverty, but we're not going to consider giving you an extra $60 a fortnight because we have some objection to controlling what you spend your money on, then I think that's a position only a privileged person who isn't struggling can make. I think most people that are actually on New Start will be appreciative of the extra money on the table.
Well, look, I think the Reserve Bank governor would be quite happy to have something going into New Start, because at least he will know that there'll be an injection into the economy straight away, unlike the 1,080, whatever it is, for coming back from tax returns, because you've got to wait for the tax return to come back. And then I've been told by a friend of mine that actually sometimes the ATO says, oh, we think you might make some more money later in the year. We're not giving it back to you just yet.
That probably happened to Barnaby.
So it's not going to improve the money go around in the economy, is it? You know, the cash isn't going to be flowing through the economy. What do you think, DeLoper?
I think you lost me when you said Barnaby's doing modelling. I think that's why he wasn't making the extra cash he needed.
Well, there's been some other things happening this week apart from Barnaby. We will get back to Barnaby a bit later on, though. But last weekend, 60 Minutes, they billed it as the yarn of the century or something like that. The Nine Media Network raised allegations that Crown Casino's empire is a haven for money launderers, gangsters and other sort of unsavoury
characters. Shock horror.
Now...
and property developers, would they be there at all?
I don't really know about that. I don't frequent these establishments very often, but Staff and Marvin,
maybe
I know...
Warm Lettuce might know a few people.
Staff and Marvin, when you're down at Crown Casino, what sort of characters do you see down there?
Oh, just the usual people you'd see every night here on the Gristle. I mean, every week here on the Gristle, or perhaps, you know, just the ordinary Joe trying to make a buck and get, you know, look, if you're a tradie or whatever, you need some sort of backup. If you're getting a lot of cash payments, you can say, well, look, I did win at roulette last Friday night.
But we have to face the facts that these things have had dramatic impacts for our economy. And so one of the things they discussed is that DFAT, Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, they were allowing people into the country for the gambling. And then in 2016, they changed that the high rollers couldn't just say, I'm bringing a new girlfriend in the day before they were due to fly. That change happened in 2016 and retail sales have slumped since 2016.
Oh, no.
So the impact of the changes of the Crown High Rollers really is hurting. Yeah.
But this is actually an important point you raised, Democracy, that prior to those changes being made, what was happening was that companies such as Crown were applying to the Department of Foreign Affairs to get certain people fast-tracked. They were queue-jumping queue jumping to the front of the, not necessarily the immigration queue, but the visa queue. Now, is that a really appropriate thing for the department to be doing?
Well, I mean, it's not a surprising outcome, given that the Labor Party, of course, is very good at encouraging queue jumpers. And, of course, the former New South Wales Labor General Secretary, Carl Batarg, did go get a job in government relations at Crown. So maybe he's just applying what he's learned in politics to Crown. Maybe that's it.
Trudette, what do you think about all this?
Oh, look, I was just laughing at the consular hotline that they were talking about in Parliament. I just like the idea that Crown Casino can just call up a consulate and say, oh, yeah, this guy's on the list. It's kind of like you're the door bitch of Australia, you know?
Now, some people are suggesting that, and I think, Democrazy, you mentioned that, Warm Lettuce, did you mention Carl Batar?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, he's not the only political figure that's bobbed up at Crown. There's also Helen Coonan, who's a former Liberal Party minister.
And a communications.
Minister. Now, some people are suggesting that Crown Casino's relationship with the government is a little too cozy, or with all sides of politics is a little too cozy. Does this mean that a federal ICAC, again, is something that we need to look at to examine these sort of relationships?
I mean, it does, and maybe they could get to the bottom of why Crown is the only area exempt from lockout laws. If you want any proof that they're close to governments, that's it, right? Like, that decision...
Are you talking about Star or Crown?
Oh, that's
Star,
right.
Sorry.
Well, yes. Look, all the casinos...
We don't want to impugn the wrong casino. True.
What about that obscene tower that they're building? The height of that has got to show a bit of coziness, doesn't
it?
Good
view,
but I actually think that tower looks beautiful. It sucks that it's a casino, but I think it looks fantastic.
Have you seen how big it is, though?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's obscene.
It's great.
Oh,
it's
with that,
huge.
It's probably time we took a bit of a break. We'll be back shortly with more Gristle.
Very shortly. How shortly?
Very shortly.
Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. Charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. Go, that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. The paved paradise, put up a parking lot. Late last night, I heard the screen door slam, and a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. I said, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. We paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Yes, welcome back to The Gristle. My name is Stormin Norman, and with me we have Interloper, Starvin Marvin, Warm Lettuce, Demo Crazy, and Trudette. Now, the apartment crisis, it's what everyone is talking about in Sydney. They're falling down everywhere. It's absolutely outrageous. You can't walk down the street without being showered with pieces of concrete.
Mate, it's not 9/11.
just around the corner, we've got sort of asbestos-lined cladding coming off the walls of one of the perhaps university buildings.
Oh, that's more petrochemical than asbestos, isn't it?
I don't understand what's going on. But thankfully, we have people in this room, in this studio, who do. Trudette, what on earth is happening with Sydney's apartment buildings?
Well, look, I mean, it's unfortunately, I'd love to say it was just Sydney, but it's not. It's actually all over Australia. We've allowed industry to self-regulate, and as we all know, what happens when we do that is, you know, it's like giving the fox the keys to the chicken coop. You know, it's so look, the apartments that have been going up at a rather rapid rate, as you may well have noticed wandering through Sydney over the last 5 to 10 years.
Not their values.
Indeed. And, you know, and as you've, if you've been anywhere near the news, you've seen that there's all sorts of deficiencies to the point of apartments, you know, cracking and failing and people are being evacuated. So the New South Wales government has appointed a commissioner of building to look at this.
Like Atlas, they're just going to go around and hold up all the buildings. You're going to appoint a new commissioner every, like, 10 seconds.
Now, shouldn't architects be watching over these buildings more carefully?
Look, I mean, there's a few things going on. I mean, certainly architects have a role to play in these things. And, you know, professional standards have slipped. And I think there's a whole host of reasons why that might have happened. And that's what this commissioner has been brought on to look at, is how we can change that. But it's unfortunately, architects are not the only ones involved in building.
No, true.
Now, a commissioner for building services, I think that's what it's called, isn't it?
Some sort of
commissioner.
Like
it sounds to me a little bit of a yes, minister solution. You know, is it actually going to make a difference? Warm lettuce.
Well, I mean, the thing that was in the paper today is he came out and said, well, I'm not actually here to propose new legislation. I'm just going to make sure people are following the legislation we've put in place, which is, you know, actually an insufficient response to the crisis. Earlier today, you had another big developer go into administration, and people that had their deposits down lost them. Now, imagine you dropped 80 grand, 160 grand, whatever, maybe 20% on an apartment, and it's gone, right? And you're in your car, you got no other option. What? That's an
head to Crown Casino. Head to Crown Casino.
Maybe,
with what you got?
Double or nothing. Try to make it back. But dead set serious. Nobody now wants to buy into off the plan, which means that new apartment builders can't get the pre-sales they need to get financed, and so apartment approvals are down a good 46% since their peak. Which means if we're not building these apartments, that's the surplus gone, so that's bad for Scott Morrison. And to be honest, if you take apartment construction out of our economic growth figures, we're in a recession. So this is really serious stuff for the economy.
Unless we export a bit more coal.
Yeah, well.
I think this is all overblown. People saying there's a crisis in the apartment buildings. The crisis is in the stadiums and the art galleries where the state government's knocking things down and nobody's going to build stuff. That's the crisis.
Well, there's crises all over the place.
I mean, it is, you know what, though? Like, you know, he's saying he doesn't want to bring in new legislation. When other, you know, when this has happened in other countries, like, for example, Canada had the leaky condo crisis in the 90s. The one thing they did was bring in new legislation, and it talked a lot about who takes liability for these things. They have municipal employed building certifiers as opposed to our private building certifiers who are often employed by the developer. You know, there's a clear conflict of interest here that for some reason people are choosing to ignore.
Are you implying that some sort of rating agency that's paid to rate the same by the person that they give the rating to is going to create a conflict of interest?
Yeah, shock horror. I mean,
never created problems before.
Yeah, yeah, right. There that's it. Go. Yeah.
AAA rated buildings.
AAA rated.
Yeah, yeah. If Margot Robbie's taught me anything, it is that AAA rating means nothing anymore.
I think we learned different lessons from that movie.
All right, we might just take another quick track and then come back with the last little furlong towards the finish line. You're listening to The Gristle right here on 2SER.
Thank you. conversation's terror you have tied.
All right, welcome back to The Gristle onto SER. My name's Stormin Norman, and with me we have interloper Starvin Marvin Tintin joining us.
G'day, g'day.
Demo Crazy, Warm Lettuce and Trudette. And normally in the last few minutes of the show, we cast our eyes beyond the shores. We look overseas to what's happening in other parts of the world. And this week in the UK, a new Prime Minister made his way into 10 Downing Street. Now, Warm Lettuce, tell us how Boris Johnson's first week in the job went.
Well, you know, actually, I think it's great that for once Australia hasn't borrowed a tradition from the UK. The UK's borrowed a tradition from us. They're churning through their leaders. It's great. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. Now we have Boris Johnson. He's into the job. And within, you know, his first week, he's managed to put the United Kingdom at risk. You've got Ireland wanting to run off and do their own thing. The Scots are rethinking an independence vote. And I thought, well, you wanted a hard exit. That's a hard exit. The kingdom is no more. And I think that's pretty impressive for 1 week in politics. Imagine what he can do in a year.
They borrowed one more thing from Australian politics, which is to have a by-election which may or may not have an influence on who forms government. Because they had a by-election, I think, yesterday.
Yes.
And a swing towards the pro-EU Liberal Democrats means Boris Johnson has a working majority of one. Which
one.
Is a very Australian tradition to have a working majority of one. So he did a little tour of the kingdom, as you said, Warm Lettuce. He went to Ireland and Scotland and Wales and got roundly booed in every city that he went to.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But of course, the other thing that came out of that by-election that isn't very Australian, well, I mean, it's a little bit Australian, is the Labor Party lost very badly. But even more badly there, Jeremy Corbyn got just 5% of the vote.
It's actually very Australian, the Wentworth by-election. They came fourth as well.
But, oh, well, there you go. Very good.
Tintin, welcome to the studio.
It's good to be here.
And
what a week.
As someone who has been in Europe relatively recently, do you think that all of this...
it's always true of him.
All of these events over the past couple of weeks have made it more likely that the new Prime Minister will go to an early election.
I think it's entirely possible. We saw it happen before a couple of years ago. Could happen again. I'm just glad I got to visit Dover and Liverpool and Brighton the past few weeks because England is slowly sinking into the ocean, not just because of climate change, just because of the depressing nature of Westminster politics.
It's all of that extra weight on everyone's shoulders. It's just pushing the land down.
And we should have an alternative in Jeremy Corbyn, but no, 5%. It's such a winnable election for almost any political leader or party, but no, he has done such an awful job. It is embarrassing.
Well, Nigel
Farage is going to be here next week, isn't he? In Australia.
That's right. Very, excellent. Very, very.
It'd be good
exciting.
To hear from him. He's probably the next Prime Minister, I think, wouldn't you?
I'd like to bring Lord Buckethead over. I think that'd be fantastic.
Not just Nigel Farage. Apparently, some character called Rahim Kassam is going to be here next week as well. Well, that's the issue. He's a former staffer, I believe, to Nigel Farage.
Now, tell him to call Crown.
Now,
I'm a migration agent. Why can't, you know, where are my clients? Where's this, like, hotline for them?
You need to get onto Telstra about that. Now, this Mr. Kassam is scheduled to speak in an event called the Conservative Political Action Conference, which
sounds like fun.
Some sort of holiday camp for socially awkward adults. But Christina Keneally is not happy about it, however, and has called for Peter Dutton to revoke this guy's visa. Now, Demo Crazy, what do you know about this guy?
Well, I just want to know, is he any good at cricket? And if so, like, how is this going to affect the Ashes, if he comes out or not?
I think we're going to be okay after 284. It's pretty impressive.
Well, I happen to think that Action Conference for Conservatives sounds like a conference of people wanting action, and I think their chances are conservative.
in their bowel movements.
Indeed.
Well, Donald Trump Jr. actually bought into this, of all people. Now, has anyone been following Donald Trump Jr.'s Twitter account recently?
Yeah, so the little bit of backstory. You said Keneally asked for his visa to be revoked, and Donald Trump Jr. in his... you've got to think, actually, weirdly enough, that Keneally probably doesn't done anyone a service by giving this guy more publicity and a bigger platform than he may have otherwise had. Who would have known about CPAC before Christina Keneally made it an issue? But yes, Donald Trump Jr., in his infinite wisdom, has decided to delve into UK and Australian conservative politics.
And
Twitter.
On Twitter.
Oh, well, that's the preferred Trump.
It's the family tradition, isn't it?
It is the family tradition.
But actually, has he got a point, though? I mean, just because this Kasam character has made apparently some fairly unsavoury sort of remarks and has some fairly views that most of us in this room would find a little bit unpleasant. Is that a reason to ban him from the country?
Well, that's why Donald Trump Jr. is an expert on these kind of comments because of what his father says. And but his father, the president this week, said that he's the least racist person in the world.
The least racist person.
But scoop on the gristle, that was actually a misquote. What he meant to say was he's the least raciest person in the world. And based on what I've seen of him, I 100% agree. He is offensive in most regards.
But he could still end up president of the United States of America after the next election if the Democratic nomination process is anything to go by.
Donald Trump Jr.?
No. Donald Trump Senior is the least
he's
racist
gonna
person.
He's not going to be running as vice president or anything, is he? Like D Trump
Maybe. Watch House of Cards.
There you go. Well, that's a good point because, of course, we did see the debates, of which there were two for the Democratic primaries, because they have no less than 20 candidates running.
I mean, 20?
You know, probably another group of individuals with conservative chances of getting action. But I think those debates, I watched them. It's very clear that a good 15 or so of them should just give up, go home, pack up, bat and ball. Why are you even there? But they're all just sort of using it as a platform going, I hope I get Secretary for Agriculture or something like that. Yeah, it's
or at least
all
a spot on a local council somewhere.
Yeah, Pete Buttigieg for Agriculture. Yeah. That is the platform. I think a lot of them, weirdly enough, like an incumbent president's usually pretty much a shoo-in to be re-elected most of them, especially with the economy being unemployment below 4%. In most other cycles, you know, the president would be fairly roundly re-elected, but a lot of Democrats are smelling blood. And Joe Biden's unfortunately become the new whipping boy. The Obama administration is now the enemy of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
They're hating on
Democratic
Obamacare.
Democratic blood that they're smelling, is it?
Well, Joe Biden's been made to call to account, not just for his own past, but the Obama administration's legacy. Now, is this justified, this criticism of Biden?
I mean, he's still playing on the Obama card. Like, if you want to kind of play that, well, I'm Obama's right-hand man and you really liked him, so maybe you'll like me. Like, if you're going to play that card, then surely you're going to have to, I guess, explain away the nastier points of the Obama administration.
Mm. I think it's a bit unfair because Joe Biden can hardly remember his own past, let alone somebody else's.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually, I think that the Democrats attacking him learnt nothing from Trump, who, of course, also faced a very wide range of other contenders when he was running for the primary. And because everybody decided to make it all about Trump, it remained all about Trump, and Trump got the nomination. And I think that by making it all about Biden, they're helping him. And that's why he's going to win. But will he beat Donald Trump? Thoughts?
Probably
anybody
not.
Here?
No.
Interloper, who do you think's the favourite to take this Democratic nomination?
Marianne Williamson's got to be the clear favourite right now. It's all about love. No, Biden's far enough. He's polling double anyone else. He's definitely got flaws. I think I think the Democrats are used to someone like an Obama basically being like the model candidate and now sort of pick each other apart because none of them are Obama. So whoever does get in, Trump's got a really good shot of being re-elected.
I reckon, you know what, I think Michael Moore put it best this week when he said we need a street fighter to beat Trump. And I actually think that's probably a reasonable thing to say. It's you do. You need a street fighter to beat Trump.
But Jean-Claude Van Damme was born in Belgium, so.
Tintin, final word.
Yeah, I'm still not sure Marianne Williamson is a figment of my imagination, but and all the whole liberal left. But I think Joe Biden's going to do it. I think it's not just because he's polling, it's because he has the base and just to take him on, and he could, and they know they want someone to win.
Well, let's hope you're correct on that assessment, Tintin. That just about wraps it up for this week on The Gristle. Thanks, as always, to our wonderful panel, Interlopers, Darvin, Marvin, Tintin, Democrazy, Warm Lettuce and Trudette. My name's Storm and Norman. It's been great to be with you. And coming up next on The Park, so stick around and we'll see you next week.